meeting of Stafford Borough Council Planning Committee. My name's Gareth Jones and I'll be chairing the meeting tonight. Just a few points before we start. It would be helpful if you've got a mobile phone that you can ensure that he's on silent mode. And can I ask members of the public to refrain from commenting during the proceedings? There is no fire alarm planned for this evening, so in the event of an emergency, can you please leave the building by the nearest exit and people will show you how to do that. On my right, there are officers from the planning department, and on my left are officers from the legal department. Officers from the planning department will present each application separately as it appears on the agenda, and we'll work strictly to the agenda tonight. Members of the public who have indicated a wish to speak will be given 3 minutes at the table provided, and I'll indicate when a minute is left so that they're able to sum up. Ward members are able to talk for 5 minutes each. This meeting is being recorded, and the recording can be found on the council's website. I remind the committee that they may only deal with planning applications in accordance with the National Planning Policy Framework, the local plan, and any other relevant planning matters. Members of the committee are reminded that they do not enjoy any immunity, as is enjoyed by members of Parliament. We can now move to the agenda. The minutes of the last meeting?
They're not submitted this evening, Mr. Chairman.
Apologies?
Yes, apologies from Councillor Beattie, who substituted this evening by Councillor James, and from Councillors Edgela and Hobbs.
Any declarations and any members being lobbied?
Yes, Chair. Lobbied.
Yeah, for which one?
For the first time.
Thank you. Any member interests? No? Okay, can we now then go to the first planning application, which is Sandybank Land at Radmore Lane, Knowsall.
Thank you, Chairman. Just before I go into the presentation, just need to point out there's an issue with the formatting on part of this report, and I'll come on to that when I explain. This application's for change of use of land for a private Romani gypsy site, with a siting of no more than 2 mobile homes and 4 touring caravans, and also the construction of a day room. The site is accessed from the northwest by the disused old Newport Road onto Radmore Lane. And you can see that is within the red line on the application boundary. The site boundary is characterised by established hedge and trees, and the land slopes down from east to west. The application relates only to the western portion of the field. The surrounding area, as you'll see on there, is predominantly open fields with sporadic dwellings and farms. Approximately 200 metres to the south, which you can see in the bottom corner crossing the Newport Road at 90 degrees, is the former railway line, which is now the way for the millennium, a footpath, which is in a cutting and goes beneath the road. Further away to the northwest is the nearest residential property, which you can see near to the top left hand corner of the plan on the screen. You'll note from the report that a previous application was refused in 2012. However, that was under the policies of the former Stafford Borough local plan, which was superseded in 2014 by the current local plan for Stafford Borough. Of relevance to the determination of this application is national guidance, which is contained in both the NPPF and additionally in the planning policy for traveller sites, which is quoted on pages 7 to 10 of the report. And that's where the issue with the formatting is. If you'd like to look at page 7 on the, of your report, under principle of development, what is set out here is the relevant sections of paragraph 24 of the planning policy for traveller sites. And where it's numbered 1, 2, 3, etc., they are actually A, B, C in the criteria. So on page 7, that's a fairly simple change. But on page 8, 4 becomes D. And then it carries on with further paragraphs C, D, E, F, which are not part of the guidance, that's part of the report itself. And then at the, towards the bottom of page 8, where we're talking about paragraph 26 of the PTS, then that under there it starts going A, B, C, which is fine, D on the next page. However, the E that follows that is not part of that guidance. And equally on page 10, G and H at the top of the page are not part of the guidance either. But they have commentary on the report. So there's nothing factually wrong with it, but as I say, it makes it a little bit more difficult to understand. It is a material consideration that the council does not have a 5-year supply of land occupancy and travellers, and there is no land allocated in the plan for Stafford Borough for gypsy and traveller sites either. You've seen from the report that the development is considered to be acceptable with regards to layout and design. The scheme would not impact upon highway safety and provide sufficient on-site parking and turning space. The development would not impact upon existing residential amenity, and on balance, it is considered to provide sufficient amenity for the future residents of the site. The application is therefore recommended for approval subject to the conditions listed on pages 22 to 24, with the exception of condition 5, which I recommend should be deleted. 5 in part duplicates 6, but it's also the additional part that it tried to do is not reasonable in relation to the site because the trees are not covered by tree preservation orders. So in summary, it's recommended for approval, the conditions listed except for condition 5. Turn to the presentation now. So you've got the application site on the screen. The access is at the top of Radmore Lane along the linked part of the site, which is the former part of the former Newport Road, and then the site itself is the triangular, roughly triangular size. On the aerial photograph, you see the same thing. You can see where the course of the road was. And as I say before, the nearest residential property is to the top left-hand corner of the screen as part of a farm. There are 10 photographs. So the first one, this is the access from Radmore Lane onto the disused old Newport Road. Second one is a view looking northwest up Radmore Lane, and the access you just saw is where that white car is to the left of the photograph. then this is the disused old Newport Road. As you can see, it's tarmac surface. This is looking the opposite way, so this is looking east along the former Newport Road, the old Newport Road, looking towards Radmore Lane, and the site, the entrance to the site itself is at the right hand side of this photo. This is a view from the old Newport Road across the western part of the site. You can see this corner of the site has already been levelled, and this photograph is looking towards the current Newport Road, which is behind the hedge and trees that you can see behind the fence line. This is an image from the western corner of the site looking east towards the east of the site. So as you can see, this bottom part of the site has been levelled. And then this is from the eastern boundary looking towards the west. In other words, the opposite view to what the one you've just seen is image six. The last three are photographs taken along Newport Road. So this is showing the western end of the site. So those are the same trees that you saw on image six, I think it was. This one is looking directly at the trees, and you can just about make out through the hedge line where part of the land has been levelled. And the final photograph shows the junction of Newport Road with Radmore Lane. Moving on now to the plans. This is a site plan, site layout plan. So the last photograph you saw was taken basically at that junction of the right hand side of the drawing. The plan there shows the day room at the top part of the site, the greyish building. Top right hand corner of the triangle. There are then the two static caravans, which are the blue ones, and then the smaller blue ones are the travelling caravans. See parking spaces in the left hand corner. So details of the day room, what it would look like in terms of the four elevations and also the floor plan. This is a site plan that shows the development proposed in relation to the existing site contours. And then you see on there, hopefully make out, there's three cross sections in purple, green and pink lines. And then they are cross sections A, B and C, which is shown on this plan. So what basically this shows is that the caravans are situated on the lower land. The day room is situated on the highest part of the land at the northeast corner. However, having said that, that is still lower than the existing land level the land is situated on. So, as I say, Chairman, the application is recommended for approval. Conditions listed apart from condition 5. Thank you.
So, condition 5 is withdrawn.
Yes.
Okay. We have an objector, Mr. Roger Gatrix.
Thank
you'd like to
Chairman.
Come to the table?
Yeah, I'm speaking on behalf of Notion Parish Council.
Thank you.
Not as an individual. I know the rules.
Well, I'll just repeat them that you've got 3 minutes, and I'll indicate when you've got a minute left.
Okay, thank you. Pardon? Oh no. Notion Parish Council objects to this application. It is outside the settlement boundaries as defined in the neighbourhood plan. It is in open countryside and, if approved, would detract from the surrounding area. Access from Radmore Lane onto the 518 is restricted and dangerous. The applicant has not demonstrated an overriding need to develop this site. The Parish Council see no reason for the application to be approved. There is no demonstrated need, as the applicant is already housed on a traveller's site in Telford. It is believed the family have no connection with the area and should not require a further site in Staffordshire. The Parish Council is concerned that should the families have children of school age, the local primary school in Nosal is already over capacity with no spare spaces and a waiting list. Whilst the officer has in her recommendation report included 18 conditions, there is a local concern that the conditions will be ignored as the applicant commenced groundwork prior to approval, and this involved SBC's enforcement officer to request work to be suspended. Nosal Parish Council object to agricultural land being developed in the rural area when strict guidelines apply to residents living in the rural part of Nosal Parish. Other applications for new development outside the settlement boundary and in more rural parts of the parish have been refused both by SBC and on appeal by Her Majesty's Inspector. Planning permission on the same site by the same applicant was refused in 2012, and the applicant did not appeal. That application was for one mobile home and one touring caravan with parking and a day room. The current application is twice the size of the previous application, with two mobile homes, four touring caravans and parking for five vehicles.
There's 1 minute.
Thank you. The decision notice from 2012 states the planning is, it has not been demonstrated that there is an overriding need to develop this site, which is in open countryside, a location, and that the proposed gypsy pitch could not be reasonably provided elsewhere in a location that would be more appropriate. The current proposal includes a 3 metre acoustic wall that would be a massive visual intrusion into the same piece of countryside. There is concern that the sewage treatment plant and soakaway will contaminate the aquifer strata below the soakaway. We are mindful that many local residents would very much wish to live in the proximity of their extended families, as stated by the applicant, but in Nosal they cannot build wherever they choose outside the settlement boundary, and why should this application be considered differently? There is, in our opinion, absolutely no overriding need which would place this applicant in a more favourable position. It would be unfair to do so, and it is felt strongly within the parish. Nosal Parish Council requests that the committee refuse this application and let one of Her Majesty's inspectors make the decision.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Could I ask the supporter to come to the table, please?
Did you say support?
Yes.
May I start?
Yes.
So, my name's Kayleigh. I am interested in this application as a resident of Nosal, and I'm delighted to welcome any and all into our community. I am aware that Stafford has not met its assessed accommodation need for Romani people within its boundary. This is a perfect chance to take steps towards addressing this. This also gives a chance to provide a secure and a safe accommodation for a homeless child as well. Compared to the other planning applications in the parish, neighbourhood consultations is roughly 4 to 5 neighbours. For the Radmore Lane development, a total of 55 neighbour consults were accumulated. When inspecting other planning applications for the parish council's response, I have found that the approval rate is incredibly high, with the majority of the approvals made with some suggested conditions. Radmore Lane has had no such positive attention. The reason cited for not approving of Radmore Lane is that the prospective development by a Romani gypsy family is that they already have sufficient housing and have no requirement to house them. This is incorrect. The family are currently severely overcrowded on their existing pitch to the extent that some members are roadside homeless. Allowing this plan to go ahead will provide a dual benefit of providing appropriate accommodation for this family, whilst freeing up an existing pitch that can be taken by another homeless family. Looking at various other planning applications for building in Mosul, this application provides a welcome opportunity to level the playing field between communities and hopefully to address the lack of understanding towards the Romani community and its people. The parish council have made suggestions for White Rock, a new house, on their approval letter, but did not do this for Radmore Lane. I am aware that the planning officer responsible for this case has recommended a number of conditions which mitigate any potential harm arising from the development.
You've got 1 minute there.
From the local consultation, it seems there are concerns regarding hygiene. These are without foundation. In fact, Mrs. Lee has taken a large portion of her time to rid the land of fly tipping and excess rubbish that has been left by persons unknown. There is no evidence at all to suggest that allowing the development will result in any negative impact for the community, and is quite the opposite. So to summarise, I am concerned that Mosul Parish Council are happy to go above and beyond offering assistance in the form of suggested planning conditions for anybody who isn't Romani. When this is coupled with the fact that a parish council member sits on grid who sent anti-Gypsy propaganda through our doors, I can only assume that the high level of opposition to this application is grounded in ignorance and lack of understanding towards Gypsy communities. This can only be improved by allowing this family to create a safe and secure home within this village where they can thrive.
Thank you. Thank you. You can reserve your seat. Thank you very much. We now have an opportunity to listen to the ward members. Who's going first? You've both got 5 minutes.
Thank you very much, Chairman. Good evening, members. You will have noted that an almost identical application was refused on this site some years ago, and 392 residents have said as much in their opposition to the application. You can read for yourselves the number of reasons objectors have put forward, far too many for me to attempt to cover in 5 minutes. Well, nothing has changed except that it is for a larger settlement. It's the same piece of land, there's been no change to the surroundings. So why have the officers decided that simply by the passage of time it is now acceptable? It was however clear that the highway's reason for refusal has been addressed. The planning statement submitted by the applicant, which says their current pitch does not satisfy the needs of the family, is undoubtedly true. And you are told in the report that different policies apply to travellers than those which apply to house building. We all know that an application for a house on this site would be refused. It's not even brownfield land. What you're not told is that the family currently have a site in the neighbouring district of Talbot and Reekie. You will all know of the difficulty we have had in finding sufficient pitches in our own borough to satisfy our own local plan. So why on earth should we be helping out Talbot and Reekie? It is their responsibility to provide for their travellers, not the responsibility of Stafford Borough. The residents and the objectors of Mosul will probably not appreciate the high level of weight given by our officers to the need to have a 5-year supply. Well, as members of this committee, you will know that if we don't have a 5-year supply of housing land, then developers can walk all over us. A similar situation arises here, so this is the fundamental argument you need to address. I've spoken to different officers about this, and clearly the writer of the report is of the opinion we would fall down on this point, but other officers are not so sure. We have recently revisited this issue as part of the emerging local plan, and the latest report shows we now have sufficient sites available. You will also know that we've recently published our preferred options for the new local plan. And whatever comes back from that consultation, the situation regarding the travellers' sites will not change. So I would argue great weight can now be given to the preferred options report, which does not include this site. So, members, I would ask you to refuse the application for the same reason as you did last time, but excluding the highways reason, but adding that we do have a demonstrable 5-year supply which does not include this site. You might wish to add that Telford and Reeking have the responsibility for this family. As the chairman of the planning committee at Notal Parish Council says, all our officers are not convinced that they do have a 5-year supply. So let an inspector decide. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Professor Farrington.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, everybody. The problem with going last, of course, is that many of the issues have been dealt with. But as Councillor Smith has suggested, the issue really is around the 5-year supply. But let me just make one or two obvious points. It doesn't make a great deal of sense that an application made by the same applicant previously was only in relation to one home and one touring caravan and a day room. If the applicant is genuine in terms of seeking to effectively resubmit the same application because it is suggested there is a change in policy, why then is the application made for 2 mobile homes and 4 touring caravans? In any other language, Mr. Chairman, that's 6 houses on a greenfield site in the middle of the countryside. And as has already been stated, we know that because it's outside the designated settlement boundary, any application by any other applicant would not be given the time of day. But I want to draw your attention to page 7 of the report, because it says, and I quote, "The proof of evidence relating to housing need concludes that within the next 5 years there is a need for 23 additional pitches. It also noted that there is a potential supply of at least 25 additional pitches to be developed during the next 5 years." And then it caveats that sentence by saying the deliverability of these sites is uncertain. I say to you that the conclusion that this report comes to, which is that there isn't a demonstrable supply of at least 23 additional pitches, is wrong. Because in fact the author of the report tells us that there is a potential supply of at least 25 additional pitches. It's not, I suggest, up to the subjective view of the officer who writes this report to query whether or not the deliverability of the sites is certain or uncertain. The mere acceptance that there is a potential supplier which meets the demand, I suggest, is sufficient proof that you require that the supply is met. And I say that in the context of Councillor Smith's representations, which he has already made about both the previous application, this application, and the consultation proposals at the moment. And so, Mr. Chairman, the strength of feeling is very clear, but strength of feeling is not enough. We say to you that, in fact, for all of the reasons that have been put to you this evening, this should be rejected because the position has not changed. I want to reserve both of our positions in relation to conditions, if necessary at a later time in the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.
You want to comment on the...
Yes, Chairman. Yes, Chairman, there's several things there. Councillor Smith said nothing has changed since the size, apart from the size of the site, since the 2012 refusal. Well, in the presentation I gave, I highlighted the fact that it's a different local plan. We now have the plan for Stafford Borough, and policy C6 is specifically provision for gypsies, travellers and travelling show people. So that was a specific policy that was not there in 2012. Councillor Smith also suggests that the preferred options plan, which is still a consultation, can be given great weight. My view, it has very little, probably no weight. It's not a plan that has been, it's a plan that's been consulted on. We haven't considered, the council hasn't considered the responses to that plan. After this, it goes to another stage where they submit a plan. Then there's a examination of that plan before it will be adopted. So we're about 2 years away from a local plan being adopted, roundabout. Then in terms of the 5-year supply, yes, we do need to have a 5-year supply of gypsy and traveller sites. That's a material consideration that an inspector would take into account on appeal. I spent 3 days earlier this month at the Spotacre Public Inquiry, and as you can imagine, that looked at supply of gypsy and traveller sites, amongst other things. The council agreed with the appellant that we do not have a 5-year supply of gypsy and traveller sites. Councillor Farrington's quite right in terms of it identifies in the supply document that there's the potential for up to 25 pitches, but there's no planning permission and there's no allocations. So the inspector couldn't take that into account. And when the Spotacre inquiry decision's published in the next couple of weeks, you will see clearly on there that there is no 5-year land supply, no 5-year land supply for gypsy and traveller sites. Thank you.
Thank you. I invite members to comment as appropriate. Councillor Hood.
Thank you, Chairman. I can understand that in 10 years. The application is for a larger site. I can understand the increase. Naturally, families grow. I'm disappointed that on page 6, although we need to know the background, it gives us the reasons why it was rejected. Well, we're not concentrating on that. We're actually concentrating on the application as it is today. So, although I've read it, I disregard it. We're told that policy C6 is a specific policy. And although it's been pointed out that there's a potential supply of at least 25 additional pitches, it is potential. And I have to go on number 2 on page 7, where it says the availability or lack of an alternative accommodation for the applicants. And a little further down, as such, it's considered that there is a lack of alternate available pitches within the borough to accommodate the applicant and family. We can only go on the information that's given to us. And I think that so far, not having heard what anyone else has said, that's the information that I'm taking on board. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Councillor Trowbridge.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I also looked through the Stafford Borough Local Plan preferred option, but it says from 2020 to 2040, so it confuses me as we pass 2020. So in there it states policy 30, gypsy and traveller accommodation, that must meet the needs, and we have allocated Hopton for 15 pitches, and it states that very clearly in there. And then it goes on to say it must have a water supply, sewerage, drainage, waste disposal. And so my question is, do we have all those on site? And it can't be disproportionate in scale to other settlements in the community. And so does it meet that requirement? So I've got both those questions, and then I might want to come back if that's all right, John.
The first point is that you can't take that policy into account at all. It's not an adopted local plan. It's in a consultation document. The policy that you need to take into account in terms of local plan is policy C6 of the existing plan for Stafford Borough, which is the one that's identified in the report.
It seems strange to me, because I remember Jeremy Perth ringing in food cabinet about Hopton as well, something in the back of my head. So that's why that feels wrong, that it's not in here, but maybe that's me. Can you answer the other ones? Would there be a water supply, sewerage, drainage, waste disposal? And do you think it's disproportionate in scale to other settlements in the community?
Okay. Well, the report talks about about some of those things. So, for example, the proposal would be, in terms of sewage, it would have a sewage treatment works, one of the sort of mini type things on site, which is identified on page 14, would require an Environment Agency license.
That's a condition.
No, it wouldn't be a condition, because it's a separate permitting review. It would require their approval. In terms of water, I would assume they have access to that. I would assume that there's a connection in the road for that. And certainly you can see that farmhouse to 250, 300 metres to the north will have all of those facilities, power, water, etc. And that's been built in the last 10 years, so I would anticipate that would be available, yes. In terms of size in relation to existing settlement, well, as you can see, it's outside any settlement in any case. And what we're looking at here is two pitches.
Because the bit that gets me is, I know someone who's bought a bit of land in between us and Penkridge, and he's put a caravan on there because he's trying to man the field, because he's frightened to death there's going to be no food. It's a bit of fruit bat, but please don't quote me on that. But he's put his caravan on there while he's doing the field, while he's getting it all ready, because he's working like stupid hours. And South staffs have told him to move the caravan, you're not allowed on there. And I just think that's someone trying to work down hard to make himself sustainable. But they said, no, you can't have a caravan in the field, and yet we're allowing it here. I don't get it. I just like fair, and that doesn't feel fair. This is exactly the same. It's in the middle of nowhere, and it just feels wrong, John. I'm sorry. And like you said, you wouldn't allow a house.
No, you're absolutely right, as was Councillor Smith. But the locations that are suitable for gypsy and traveller sites, according to policy C6, are not the same ones that are necessarily suitable for new dwellings.
Sorry,
and I think you need to bear that
absolutely
in mind.
Thank you.
Councillor Cooper?
Yeah, I think I appreciate we're only supposed to be looking at this plan application here. One of the bits that's rattled me slightly is the fact that it is outside of any settlement boundary, which presumably is identified in the neighbourhood plan. So if the neighbourhood plan has got a settlement boundary and this is outside of it, does that mean the neighbourhood plan is a waste of time?
No.
Because, you know, I mean, I'm quite passionate about neighbourhood plans. If it is outside of it, you can do something like this. Would you be able to, taking on board, you just said it's a separate clause for gypsy traveller requirements. If it was a commercial caravan site for motorhomes or passing caravans, tourists type thing, would that be allowed? No.
Chairman, it is outside the settlement boundary. The Nosal parish, that the settlement boundary of Nosal in the neighbourhood plan, in the parish neighbourhood plan, is the same as in the plan for Stafford Borough.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to look at policy C6, because that doesn't require gypsy and traveller sites to be within the settlement boundary.
Is this for clarification?
It's to repeat and to clarify a point that is core to this application, Mr. Chairman. And that is that I contend, as Councillor Smith does, that firstly, the officer who prepared this report is suggesting that there are sufficient pictures available. But more importantly, the suggestion that the current consultation is not a material consideration, we suggest, is not giving weight to the following point, which is that whatever comes back from that consultation, the evidence and information in relation to traveller sites specifically will not change. And therefore, by its very nature, not only do we say there is an existing strength of evidence to suggest that there is an available supply, but even if there were, which is not accepted, this consultation deals with that issue anyway. And so we suggest, as has been said by two people already, that that's of itself a ground for refusal, and let the inspector decide.
I think the comment was made that the recent inquiry did indicate that there was a shortage of
there is no 5-year land supply of gypsy travel.
And that is a very recent.
That was before the publication of the preferred option.
Right.
No, it wasn't. The inquiry closed last Monday.
We're talking about something that is very recent.
Yeah. The inspector was aware. We made the inspector aware that the consultation had been published, but clearly it's at an early stage in the local plan process.
Councillor Kerr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Forgive me if I've missed the confidential part to the report, but it would be useful to know the circumstances of the family and their accommodation now, and how it fails them in some ways, is unsuitable, and how this would be more suitable, because to me it looks quite cramped, this site, with the two mobile homes and the four pictures for travelling, touring caravans, wherever they are at the moment. I mean, this is putting a lot onto a small space. And also, are the four pictures for the travelling caravans four parts of the same family, or are they pictures for any travellers who come around that way, or are they specifically for the same family?
Can you answer that?
Yeah, I can answer that. So, the situation is that the family currently comprises of eight people, of which there are three children. So, in effect, it's and I mentioned before two pictures. In effect, it's an extended family. So, the situation where they are at the moment, according to the agent, is that the site is overcrowded and too small for their needs, such that the one of the elements of the family currently live on the roadside for much of the time. Again, this was an issue that came up with the Spot Acre inquiry in terms of where do travellers go if there aren't pictures. So, to answer your question, effectively, the extended family, there are two units. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, clearly, I don't know the site they're on at the moment. It's not in the borough, so I can't say whether or not it's overcrowded or not. But clearly, that's the reason they're saying they want to move.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, so the four pitches for touring caravans, are they for members of that same family?
Yeah, what you've got, I'll go to the plans again. So you've effectively got the two larger blue ones are the static caravan, so they are the two pitches. And if you look at it in the sense that each of the pitches has room for two touring caravans with it, and then the day room is a shared facility. Usually on a gypsy and traveller site, if you look at the likes of Glover Street, which the council run, there is a static caravan, there's the room for a touring caravan, and there is the day room. But those are quite small pitches compared with elsewhere.
So the point that Dr. McKeown is making is that there is no room for a traveller arriving on this site and to be accommodated. The site is specifically in relation to this extended family.
The applicant is making the application for her own family, yes.
Right.
Yes. Sorry, I wasn't understand that's what you were getting at, yes.
Probably didn't say it very well.
Further clarification?
Mr. Chairman, it's a question that's germane. It's been suggested that the Spot Acre inquiry has only just been concluded and the inspector has not yet given his decision stroke report. Is that correct?
Yes.
How can it be said then that there is a conclusion that suggests that the supply hasn't been met if the decision hasn't been delivered or made public?
Because
that has to be a nonsense, Mr. Chairman.
Councillor Harrington, I said that because the parties, the council and the appellants, both agreed on that.
That wasn't a point that was under dispute.
No, there was no dispute. We do not, and that's what if you look at the needs assessment that was produced for the local plan evidence base, that says we don't have a 5-year land supply.
Well, the report suggests.
Chairman, can I respectfully point out that the two gentlemen have had their 5 minutes, and that we, the planning committee, are.
Yeah, I think I was looking for clarification.
Thank you, Chairman.
that probably was not particularly clarifying.
Well,
was there anything?
It's a pertinent question, Mr. Chairman, with the greatest of respect, and for Councillor Wood to suggest that we've had our 5 minutes to seek to fetter representations that are perfectly proper in relation to the committee's decision is wrong.
Chairman, perhaps we would invite someone else who's in support to come and have a further few minutes. I'm sorry, but I don't agree.
Okay.
I'll second that.
You'll second?
What Councillor Hipkins said.
Okay. Yeah, I think we move on. The point to be clarified. Councillor Nixon.
There's been a lot of talk about who's going to visit there and what are the touring caravans for. But I think the objectors are objecting to anybody at all being on that side, so I don't think we need to bother about the minutiae of what's going to be there. I think our aim is... Are the officers correct in recommending approval of this site, given the change in policy since the last time when it was refused? I think that's the presumption. Are the officers correct in recommending recommendation? I personally think they are, and I would propose we approve it.
Right. That seconded?
I'll second that, Chairman.
If I may, just for clarity, Mr. Chairman, please. If this were two mobile homes and then four small mobile homes, that wouldn't then qualify as a traveller site.
Sorry, Dan.
Rather than touring caravans,
yeah.
Those pitches were smaller mobile homes. Would it that would not qualify as a traveller site?
It depends on what their purpose is. Because there's a definition of what a gypsy and traveller is, and if they accommodate people that meet that need, then potentially it could be. But as I said before, generally they would have static caravan, touring caravan, day room.
Councillor Trowbridge.
Do we have anywhere else in the borough where we only have one family on a site and we call it a gypsy and
yeah.
Traveller's site?
Yeah, the committee approved a site at the junction of Sandon Road and Salt Road, I think it was about 18 months ago, which is
just one family
with several caravans, a bit like this.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, what concerns me is being a simple-minded planning committee member. Is that there are over 300 people have objected to this. And it's going in the middle of the countryside. There is strong feeling against Gypsy and Romany sites, and there's nothing we can do about that. But I can't make my mind up which way to go with this. I mean, the people have a right to live somewhere, obviously. But there's an awful lot of strong feeling, and one hopes that doesn't develop into something more than just feelings.
Yeah.
But, sorry, Mr.
Chairman. I think a point that was made is that the council has got an obligation in relation to provision.
The
council hasn't got an obligation to provide sites itself, but on its own land, but it has got a requirement to provide a 5-year land supply of gypsy and traveller sites.
Councillor Pardaisy?
Chair, could I just ask for clarification? We just heard there were over 300 people objecting. Now, is it 300 people or 300 objections which aren't necessarily from the same number of people?
Yeah, on in the report.
I think in the report it does outline the number.
Page 19, it says we've had 399 responses from 263 addresses, of which 44 are outside the borough. And then of the 399, 392 are objections. So
that's where that figure comes from.
So they're objections from individual people. So it would be the same amount of people matching, or can one person make six different objections?
Yeah, can do. And sometimes you see that on the committee report. You see, sometimes you see we've got five objections from one address.
So it's not necessarily objections from that number of people?
No.
Just for clarification?
No, it's not.
Thank you.
But the law very clearly says 263 addresses.
Yes, Chair, but we've also been told it doesn't necessarily mean that one person just makes one objection.
Please address your comments through the chair. We have a proposal, and does anybody else wish to speak? We have a proposal, and
just
that
general, can we just clarify it's without condition five? Can we just clarify that?
As far as this paper is concerned, what we're looking at is a proposal excluding condition five as published. Okay. So that the proposal is that this application is approved, and that proposal has been seconded. I would put that proposal to the vote. Those in favour?
1, 2, 3, 4. 4, Chair.
Thank you. Those against?
1, 2, 3, 4, Chair.
I get the big books, Mr. Chairman.
Well, I have a casting vote, and I will vote with the proposal as submitted. So, the proposal is approved. Councillor Farrington.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In view of the decision of the committee, I did reserve
our
position in relation to conditions. I just want to make a representation. Respect of condition 6, please, on page 25. That requires that the existing trees are protected within and adjacent to the site. I can't see any reference in any of the other conditions to protection of hedges and hedgerows, and I would seek to add that as an appropriate condition given the location and siting of this application.
Okay. Have you any comment to that?
Chairman, there's also in condition 4 there is reference to full details of protective fencing and other protective measures to safeguard existing trees and hedgerows on the sides. Sorry, Chairman. Are you looking at the reasons rather than the conditions?
What page should
the conditions are on 23 and the reasons are on 20 for those are on 25.
Yeah, okay, thank you very much.
Okay, so thank you very much. We move on to the next application. Thank you very much. Both want to go. We're just having a comfort break. Note that these three applications now before us relate to land at St John's Church, Granville Terrace, Stone, and the three have been called in by Councillor Kenny. Councillor Kenny is not here tonight, and he's asked me to read out the following statement in his absence. Can I please give my apologies as I'm unable to attend in person this evening as I have a prior engagement that has been organised for several months. The call in is on behalf of neighbours who are intending to speak this evening. I will not be making any more representations other than those in my call in and advising that I've called in the item on behalf of the neighbours. Thank you. I think it'd be useful if we started, if you were to put the three applications into context, because it's not easy to follow.
The following three applications are intrinsically linked, yet they must be considered separately. As a very brief overview of the background, Planning Commission and Listed Building Consent were allowed to appeal in 2016. Works have commenced, and it is considered that the Planning Commission remains extant. However, conditions of the Listed Building Consent were not discharged prior to expiration of that consent, and that is considered to have lapsed. The first application is retrospective and seeks to vary condition 2 of the planning permission that was allowed on appeal and subsequently varied in 2019. This condition lists the approved plans. The unauthorised works are described as the replacement of coloured glass windows to plain glass windows and the installation of roof lights in a revised position. The second application is part retrospective and seeks listed building consent for the retention of unauthorised works and the remainder of the scheme allowed on appeal in 2016. It also includes the replacement of coloured glass windows for plain glass windows. The third application is retrospective again and seeks listed building consent for the retention of unauthorised works to the listed building for works that go beyond those already described. When we come to the third application, and we'll explain that in more detail. One representation from the occupier of the adjacent dwelling has been received following the publication of the officer's report. This representation relates to the application for listed building consent, the second application. However, it relates to matters of amenity, which should be considered under the first, that for variation of the planning permission. The representation refers to four windows as detailed within the ODC report. See condition 6 of the recommendation of the second application in that respect. The openings were all approved at appeal, yet there was a condition relating to the details of the fenestration. The first reference is to frame 10. This is a side facing window to bedroom 5 within the extension. Concerns raised regard to undue loss of privacy. The window would look across the grounds of St John's Church to the side boundary of the rear garden of Granville House at a distance of approximately 7 metres. The neighbour requests that this window be obscure glazed and non-opening to a height of 1.7 metres above floor level. The second, which is frame 14, is the ensuite bathroom for that bedroom within the extension again. The window would face towards Granville House, and the neighbour requests that this window be obscure glazed and hung from the opposite side, the right hand side when viewed externally, to avoid overlooking. And the final two, frame 13 and another of frame 14, these are type window frame designs. These are windows to the landing at first floor. These windows again would face towards Granville House. The neighbour requests that these windows be obscure glazed, and again the side that the windows are hung upon, or whether they are hung or fixed, is secured by condition. With reference to the appeal decision in 2016, the inspector raised no concern with regard to privacy and imposed no conditions relating to the need for obscure glazing. However, details of fenestration were required by condition on the listed building consent allowed us to appeal. It's anticipated that any concerns regarding overlooking would have been more appropriately dealt with on the planning permission, and the details of fenestration secured by condition on the listed building consent, which is allowed appeal, related to the character and significance of the listed building. Notwithstanding this, if the committee is minded to consider it necessary that the four aforementioned windows be obscure glazed, non-opening or hinged on the opposite sides, it is considered that such conditions to ensure this in perpetuity would be reasonable. I'll begin with application one. The application, as I explained, is for the variation of the plans condition of 19/31557/FUL. It relates to the replacement of coloured glass windows with plain glass and the installation of roof lights in revised positions. The applicant has provided a unilateral undertaking that the side opening casement windows would remain restricted to open no more than 24.5 centimetres. The depth of the stone window reveals. The officer's report refers to this on page 36, and the committee is invited to consider whether it is appropriate or necessary to grant consent subject to or without the benefit of this undertaking. To the presentation, the plan and aerial view show the location of St John's Church on the junction of Longton Road and Granville Terrace. The railway line runs to the south-west of the site, and the stone conservation area dissects the site broadly east to west. That is the black line that runs through the Red Edge boundary. The photo plan shows the location of the following 11 photographs. Photographs 5 to 11 are internal photographs. The first is the southeast elevation of St John's Church from the side of Granville House. The second is again the southeast elevation from the rear garden of Granville House. The third is the northwest side elevation of Granville House, and the openings on this elevation serve the cellar stairs, pantry and entrance door at ground floor, and the upstairs toilet and landing at first floor. A view from the first floor window of view of St John's Church from a rear facing first floor window within Granville House. This is a view out of a ground floor window within St John's Church. The roof that you can see through the top light is that of the garage of Granville House. Page 6 shows a ground floor window open to the maximum limit. This is in the living area of Unit 2. Photograph 7 is the view out of the first floor windows in the living area of Unit 4. Photograph 8 is out of the top light of the first floor windows in Granville House, visible in that photograph. 9 is the view out of another first floor window open to its maximum limit. 10, the roof lights in situ within the mezzanine in Unit 4. And 11 shows the retained coloured glass window on the southwest elevation. That's the elevation that fronts Longton Road.
On picture 8, what is the distance between those the two houses there? Roughly
11.25 meters. That's what it says.
How many?
11.25. It says in the report.
Right.
I don't dispute that.
Yeah, I think that's right. Okay.
So the first plan is the site plan. The distant building is the grey lighter shaded building. The extension is the left hand of the darker three, and the other two are other buildings proposed which were allowed at appeal but do not form part of this proposal to vary the application. Plan 2 is the ground floor layout. Plan 3 is the first floor and mezzanine. Plans 4 and 5 are elevations as proposed at St John's Church. And the recommendation is that the application to vary condition 2 be approved, subject to the conditions listed within the officer's report, and if the committee is so minded, an additional condition with regard to the steel glazing and the opening of windows. I have a prepared condition if you wish.
Yeah.
It's lengthy, so bear with me. Notwithstanding any description or details within the application documents, before Unit 5 is first brought into use, the following windows within Unit 5 shall be installed in accordance with the following and thereafter retained as such. First floor, southeast facing window serving bedroom 5 shall be obscure glazed and non-opening to a height of 1.7 metres above floor level. The first floor southwest facing window serving the ensuite bathroom to bedroom 5 shall be obscure glazed to a height of 1.7 metres above floor level and hung from the right hand side. First floor southwest facing window serving the landing shall be obscure glazed to a height of 1.7 metres above floor level and hung from the right hand side. And the first floor southwest facing window serving the landing shall be obscure glazed to a height of 1.7 metres above floor level. The left-hand casement shall be non-opening and the right-hand casement shall be hung from the right-hand side. Thank you.
Are the supporter and objector of this application aware of that additional condition?
No. No.
Right. Did you pick up what was said?
Thank you. Yes.
Yes? Good.
Thank you. Chairman, could I say please that I have been lobbied on this?
Thank you. Since I asked if any lobbying had been...
I thought you were going to ask at the beginning of the...
I did.
I was out having the coffee.
Alright, okay. So we now go to the first of these applications, and we have Mr. Keith Handy, who's objecting to it, if he'd like to come to the table.
Good evening, Chairman.
Good evening.
Members of the committee, thank you. We live next to the church. We object to the proposed changes and ask that the planning application is either refused due to the heritage harm and its effect on our residential amenity, or it is deferred until the planning committee visits our house so you can see for yourself. On heritage harm, NPPF paragraph 202 states, where less than substantial harm is caused to a listed building, the harm should be weighed against the public benefits. The report concludes that the benefit of additional ventilation is a public benefit. Where is the evidence that the public at large benefit from the additional ventilation? There is no evidence that a change to ventilation is even required. The original windows had sufficient opening vents, and the original ventilation plan, based on refurbishing the original windows, is sound. No technical evidence has been provided to support the change. There is no evidence of viability that compels the council to accept this change. Yes, reinstating the stained glass is going to be more costly, but the developer should not have removed the old windows. If this makes the development unviable, the committee should be in possession of that evidence. Regarding our amenity, after 125 years of total privacy, the proposed windows literally open into our garden and look into the core of our home. The original permission retained the stained glass with secondary double glazing. This proposal is for a substantial area to not be double glazed, massively losing energy efficiency and introducing overlooking into our home. The OR states our main window is not a principal window. He applied the explanatory text to guideline 6, but not the policy itself, which requires that each proposal is judged on its own merits. This window opens into the core of our home. Our very personal activities are at the core of our home. The report explains some privacy is provided. What is some privacy? What does this actually mean? Privacy some of the time, and no privacy at other times. Visiting our home will make this abundantly clear. We promise not to move naked between rooms when you are there. So, in conclusion, on energy, the changes are retrograde. On ventilation, there is no evidence. On privacy, there is clearly harm.
Your time is nearly up.
We object to this application, and if it not at least deferred, we will have no option but to continue to take legal advice to protect our position. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Is Mr. Howell here?
Yes.
You have 3 minutes.
Thank you. The one application, the listed building was actually turned down on summary because of a breach of not doing a condition right at the start. That's actually incorrect. We had windows passed, and they were a condition of the conservation officer, and installed at his behest, and then subsequently, because it was overturned at appeal, it then became we couldn't actually do it prior because we'd already fitted them and they were legal at the time. They only became illegal. So I'll get on to the rest of it. All the works of repair and restoration to the listed building have been carried out and completed in accordance with the guidance, direction and insistence of the council's former conservation officer at the time. All of the flats were completed and ready for occupation some 2 years ago and remain unoccupied. The only fault that the court found on judicial review was that the council had made was to fail to advertise the discharge of conditions of the listed building application. Enforcement investigation has found no breach of the planning permission. The replacement windows were designed by the council's conservation officer at the time, and the existing windows were inspected by that conservation officer and found to be inferior quality and in poor repair, needing replacement. The windows have been designed in accordance with recognised methodology for repairing and replacing church windows. Council's current conservation officer, as well as my own advisors, agree with this assessment. In terms of residential amenity, the distance between the windows and the nearest dwelling is a full distance standard, as the careful examination in the council's report makes clear. In addition, we have included opaque glazing to the windows in part to avoid overlooking. Further, we have committed to ensuring that the opening of the window is no greater than the sill or window reveal by a legal undertaking which the council report does not consider strictly necessary. The land over which the windows face remains part of the curtilage of the listed building, irrespective of land ownership. And as far as reason four on the call-in, the extension to the listed building was actually passed under the planning permission, under the appeal, and therefore is not actually part of this planning application. So those windows and any consideration of that extension shouldn't be considered in this particular application. We've not included it, as far as I can understand.
Okay.
It was passed by the committee, by the appeal, judged at the time, and passed, and that's extant. So therefore, it still stands.
Do you want to comment, Ed, on that?
The conditions that the planning commission allowed appeal is extant. The reason for recommending the committee considers a condition is that there is no reference to amenity to harm to privacy overlooking within the appeal decision.
Only any mention to it is under the listed application, which we will be coming on to next, not in the planning permission. There's no conditions in there, so therefore it can't be considered because we haven't included it and it wasn't in there.
No. Well, just respond to that, but you've had your 3 minutes.
There is no reference within the appeal decision. It cannot be inferred from anything that there was considered to be no harm, some harm, any degree of harm, and therefore we cannot be certain that there was no requirement for obscure glazing on the condition that's related to the listed building consent.
Okay.
Do I need to go now? Do I stay here?
You can stay there. We haven't got any back councillor here to talk because, as I said, Councillor Kenny couldn't be here. Yeah, okay. Perhaps you could withdraw back to the general area. Thank you. I open the application for a comment from the councillors. Councillor Trowbridge.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Would you put up picture? It's the lovely stained glass.
11.
I think it was 11.
Yes.
Oh, there. Yes, lovely. How beautiful is that? And what a beautiful building. And it is such a shame that they've taken this lovely colour out of the windows. I've listened to everything that's said both ways, and I know stained glass costs a fortune, so I understand them not wanting to put windows back to look the same in stained glass, because it would be an arm and a leg. But I've had in my past a stained glass window like that made out of just tissue paper, and they do the same, and it looks fabulous still. And I can't understand why our conservation officer hasn't asked for... The window's opening, I get that. It's now a home, and it's a shame that it is, because it's such a beautiful building, but that's accepted now, so it's a home, and you've got to make it as a home. So I accept the opening windows, but I can't understand why we can't put them back to look like this. Is there a reason? Is there a good reason?
Conservation officer.
Thank you.
So the decision initially to replace the windows was done under a discharge of conditions application by the former conservation officer. There was a balance to be made. There were two choices. To meet the building regulations requirements for ventilation was one of the primary reasons for their replacement. The options were a very invasive and intrusive mechanical ventilation system with ducting, grills, perforations through the roof and walls of the church, or would it make the windows open? The windows weren't in fabulous condition anyway. This was, it's my understanding that this one has actually been restored by the owner. But ultimately, the design of the windows was put forward by the previous conservation officer, and it is a tried and tested typical metal casement window that is often put in church conversions when they're being converted to residential. They do offer more light as well internally to the space, but the glass that you see, it was very much like this, it is stained glass, but it isn't, it's what we call in heritage terms coloured glass. It is stained, but it doesn't have as high a pigmentation as true stained glass, so it is of lesser significance. In terms of the balance, the ventilation system was going to be far more intrusive to the building, and so it was agreed in that circumstance that replacement windows would be permissible from a conservation perspective by the previous officer, and I concurred with that decision.
Are you happy with that response?
May I come back, Mr. Chairman? So if you look at image 7, where they've kept the lights on the colour at the top but allowed the openers to be clear or obscured, why couldn't we have asked for that to be in the purples and the whites the same?
I mean, I can't speak to the previous conservation officer. It is unfortunate to lose the coloured glass, but because there was a fine example still remaining of it in the main church window, the previous image, and also they've kept it, as you can see at the top of the tracery here, there's still a lot of examples of that glass in the building, so it was considered a reasonable mitigation.
So as our conservation officer, you say that absolutely.
I agree with that, yes.
Then I would like to vote this through as officer's recommendation, because I am not going to disagree with the profession.
So you're proposing that we accept the application?
I am.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just while we've got that photograph on there, are they opening onto land within the ownership of the church building, or do they open onto land in the possession of his Granville House, is it?
Yeah.
So they open over a boundary, do they?
So this is described in section 5 of the report on page 37. Queries have been raised with regard to ownership. The applicant has confirmed that they own the buttresses of St John's Church and drawn attention to the definition of boundaries in the front of the land registry documents. I'm reading from the report here, indicating that it's standard practice to show such boundaries in a straight line. The applicant states that it's inconceivable that the church would have sold the supporting structures, the buttresses, to their own building. And as they have served notice and signed the relevant ownership certificates, it is a civil matter whereby a boundary dispute can be brought if desired for the purposes of the planning act. The applicant has confirmed in writing that the location plan is accurate, the correct ownership certificate has been provided, in the Red Edge application that is as considered by the inspector. Saying that, the argument from the applicant is that the ownership as a minimum would follow the line of the elevation including the buttresses. The windows at the moment are prevented from opening any further than the window reveals. That is the purpose for the unilateral undertaking. And that the undertaking would state that those windows must remain, they can't open past that in perpetuity.
But not as far out as the buttress.
That's correct. Yeah. Only the window reveal is 24.5 centimetres.
Councillor Nixon.
Thank you, Jim. The gentleman who objected was referring mainly to his loss of privacy. Could the officers elaborate? Is this within the plan policy that the amount of these windows, how they overlook his property? Could you clarify it, please?
There is guidance in terms of privacy. The windows on the side elevation of Granville House are not principal windows. They do not serve habitable rooms in terms of the guidance that we follow. The windows are, as confirmed on a site visit, the front door, stairs to the cellar, pantry, a landing, and an upstairs toilet. The guidance in terms of privacy refers to habitable rooms and the separation distance between those.
One of the photographs illustrated that.
That's correct, yes.
May I make a comment on the use of the size and the use of the landing and the layout of our home?
No, we've had opportunity for public speaking. Councillor Cooper?
Sorry, go back to the picture of the windows. We just had a few. That stops, fine. Yeah. Right, thank you. A big issue of this is obviously loss of privacy and whether perceived, whichever way you want to look at it. When the stained glass windows were there, judging by that there, that entire window would have been like the opaque section to the bottom, very difficult to see through. Yeah.
That's my understanding. I didn't visit the church.
So rather than just leave a clear piece, which is perceived as being intrusive there, why is it not all opaque, which would have been the equivalent of the stained window?
Again, my understanding is this, as Sam has outlined, is the design was put forward by the council's previous conservation officer, and the assessment made in the officer's report is based on the proposal in front of us, which is the windows that are shown on the photograph.
Councillor Hood?
Yeah. I'd just like to point out that one of the committee members mentioned earlier on how important neighbourhood plans were, and in the neighbourhood plan, the Stone neighbourhood plan, under visions and aims, it states preserve and enhance the special characters of the town, including heritage assets of Stone, by supporting initiatives to repair, refurbish and reuse historic buildings. This building was falling into a grave state of disrepair, and there was structural movement, timber decay and damp, and it was vital that work was done. And we've now reached the stage where this is being beautifully restored, aligning to the statement of the Stone Neighbourhood Plan. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Councillor James?
I was going to.
Councillor
I was just going to ask that on the basis of what Councillor Cooper said, which is the original windows would have been stained and therefore obscured, why can't those top parts also be opaque?
If I may, Chair, because, you know, again, bouncing on that, it would not detract, and I think it's an excellent, I love it when this happens to our buildings and they're restored.
I think that's right.
It's just what's happened to it, and the way it's been done, and the removal of the stained glass windows has removed this issue of privacy, however we want to define it. And very simply, obscuring those top panels may well take a very large part. I appreciate the conservation officer's comments, but just from a, you know, an assessment of this, if those are obscure, then a lot of this problem goes away.
The assessment made in the officer's report is that the there's a balance here in terms of privacy for existing occupants and amenity for proposed or future occupants of the application property. If all of the windows within the application property were obscure glazed, there would be no outlook for those occupants at all. Moving on from that, looking at the privacy and the protection of the privacy for the existing occupants, it's considered that the level of harm in terms of the loss of privacy is negligible, because there are no facing principal windows in the side elevation of that property. So it's a balance between amenity for future occupants and existing.
I think that's a very important issue about what is actually being overlooked in relation to the other property.
Naked people.
Do you want to show that photograph again?
This one?
Yes. Okay, we had a proposal that the application be approved from Councillor Trowbridge. Is there a seconder?
Chairman, can I clarify that includes the additional condition?
I'll second that.
You second it. And can I clarify that your proposal included the additional condition?
Yes.
The answer is yes.
Which? Ed, explain the condition, sorry.
The additional.
He says we've got it, but it can't be completed, so didn't we have to make it subjective?
Oh, I think so, yes, and it can be referred to legal.
Okay.
Check
on
that.
Are you going to clarify? Shall we clarify what we're saying then?
Yes, Chairman. First of all, I wanted clarification that it included the additional. Your recommendation included the additional condition that.
Which
Ed,
Councillor Trowbridge has confirmed that.
Right, okay, thank you. The other question is, in terms of the unilateral undertaking that was referred to earlier, we do have that, but I don't think it has been completed. So we would make the decision subject to that being completed first.
Could you just clarify what the condition of that?
So the unilateral undertaking is that the maybe a photograph at the bottom of the window there's a latch for the open window to hold it. That is screwed in place at the moment, so it can only open a certain distance. The unilateral undertaking is an undertaking that the catches on the windows will remain as such in perpetuity, so they will physically not be.
I thought that was already in,
so that will not be interfered with. That
correct.
Okay.
Make it permanent. Yeah.
It would be retained as it is, but there's a legal undertaking that it would not
be altered. Okay, you're happy with that?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay.
Is
the seconder happy with that?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Councillor Cooper, before the vote?
Before the vote, yeah, I'd like to suggest, listening to what's being said again, that as a compromise, and that as a committee, we add another condition at those top. And judge about which photograph is it, Karen, I'm ashamed. It's only two windows. It's be Picture of the side of the building from that one.
Image one.
Now, unless it's reflecting light, the only two windows that appear not to be totally obscured are two on the ground floor.
No.
Excuse me, that's blind.
Thank you. Ignore that. It still comes back that an additional condition that those top layers should be obscured, so that it's a compromise. The windows, you still get the ventilation, there's no intrusive ventings and things like that on the building to spoil its appearance, and those panels are obscured. Because if the my argument is if the stained glass remained there as it should have done, they would have been obscured anyway.
Yeah. Councillor Hood?
I think that the stained glass is not there because of the advice from the previous conservation officer. For people who are going to be tenants of that, to actually have the entire window obscured, where there's no outlook whatsoever, it's not acceptable.
Is there a seconder to what Councillor Cooper was proposing?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, I'll second it.
Okay, so we take that first then.
Can I make a comment before or not?
Yeah. Yes, you could comment before
Image
the vote.
Image 5, if you look at that, shows how dark it is with only those tiny bits of light. And if you stood up, your head won't reach those. So I can't see that you'd be looking at. This is going to be someone's home, don't forget. You do need to allow lighting.
Yes, sir. Okay, so can we the amendment, so be clear what the amendment proposes, is that
either that those windows are opaque or you put the stained glass back in.
Yeah. Is that clear what the amendment is?
One of the others.
You can't put the stained glass back in.
Why not?
Where is it?
Well, that's their problem, not mine.
But it's got to meet the test of the condition. It's got to be reasonable, enforceable, etc. We can't put a condition on with a window that can't be complied with.
Those in favour of the amendment, which is to
has to be the opaque.
Make those windows opaque. Those in favour of that?
One, two.
Those against it?
One, two.
Well, the amendment is lost. So the proposal then is to approve, subject to the condition that you outline. And subject to the unilateral undertaking in relation to the window fixings. Those in favour?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Those against? That is carried. Thank you. So now we go on to 21/35/101/LBC. Ed, do you want to take this one?
Thank you. Application 2 is a retrospective application for missing building consent for the retention of unauthorised works. The unauthorised works comprise those allowed on appeal in 2016. That consent is considered to have lapsed. And also the replacement of the coloured glass windows. The scheme, insofar as list of building consent is required, includes the following principal elements: the subdivision of the listed building to provide 5 dwellings. The demolition of the timber and brick rear additions to the listed building, extension of the listed building, and replacement of 20 coloured glass windows and 2 clear windows. The appeal decision in 2016 was subject to conditions to secure precise detail of various elements of work. Such details have been provided as part of this submission, and the conditions recommended reflect these details. The plan and aerial view show the location of St John's Church as previously described. The photo plan shows the location of the following 6 photographs, some of which you've already seen. the southeast elevation of St John's Church, another from of the southeast elevation, the clock tower taken from Longton Road, internal view of the replacement of first floor windows, an external view of the retained tracery and coloured glass within the replacement windows, and again the roof lights. Plan 1 is the site plan, again as you've already seen. Plan 2, the ground floor layout. Plan 3, the first floor layout with mezzanine floor. Plan 4 is the ventilation plan. Plans 5 and 6 are elevations of St John's Church. And plan 7 is a detail of the replacement windows. The recommendation is that listed building consent be granted, subject to the conditions listed within the officer's report, and as with the previous application, of an additional condition to tie in with that from the first application, the wording of which would need to be similar, except for it would need to refer to condition 6 of this consent. It would read, notwithstanding condition 6 of this consent, and then verbatim as the other condition. The reason for that is that the recommended condition 6 does refer to a schedule of window designs, which includes clear glass and the side of the window casements, which would be wrong. Thank you.
Thank you. We have an objector, Mrs. Handy.
We ask that the decision is deferred until a site visit is made by members. We've lived next to the church within its curtilage for 22 years. We're just residents, council taxpayers. It's a criminal offence to make unauthorised changes to a listed building. We felt protected by the law. The permissions required the windows be retained. We're stressed by the situation. Errors have been made, and these applications are now about minimising potential liability, not about making the right decision. The illegal works permanently undermine our privacy, our security, our family life, driving the coach and horses through the historic context of our home. We've had to take the council to the High Court. The last decision was quashed. Rather than enforce the permitted scheme, it appears the council's conservation officer suggested the illegal windows in the first place. In plain English, very substantial harm indeed has been done to the appearance of the building. We had to pay for RPS consultants to assess the harm for the council to now agree that less than substantial harm has in fact been met. The new windows, especially when backlit, are an aberration in context. There are numerous photos on file that show this to be the case. Less than substantial harm has to be weighed against the public benefits of the proposal, including, where appropriate, securing optimum viable use. Optimum viable use is not in dispute. It is disingenuous to suggest that an inspector did not consider the implications of the secondary glazing, and now to make your decision on an assumption that the inspector may have been wrong. This was a scheme to include secondary glazing put forward by the applicant. There is harm in changing the windows. Where is the public benefit? The only justification given is avoiding the need for mechanical ventilation. This may benefit the occupants, but isn't justified. It cannot properly be seen as a wider public benefit. Members rely on advice from officers. In this instance, we do not believe that you can make an informed and fair decision based solely on that advice, as the officer's report is legally flawed. We request that you defer a decision so that you can make a site visit, view the selected photographic evidence, and see for yourselves the impact of the illegal changes on the listed building. Please keep in mind, 1, the simple coloured glazing was attractive and noteworthy, marking out the church in its non-conformist tradition. 2, the approved scheme incorporated inward opening vented windows, evidence on file. 3, the new arrangement is less thermally efficient, evidence on file. 4, our amenity is not safeguarded, it has been trashed, evidence on file. Whilst our amenity is not directly relevant in an LBC application, the report fails to report this in the context of the relationship between the church and an occupied residential building within its curtilage, which used to be the manse. We should not be disregarded in an LBC application.
Thank you. Any comments from members?
Can I just say what I normally say in these cases? I hate people cancelling conditions. I think if you get a planning application.
Sorry. The support, I'll call the supporter to the table.
Okay.
My fault, I'm sorry.
Sorry, I forgive you.
Hi, right. First of all, this is how I did actually point out that the windows were replaced at the behest of the conservation officer. Not only is it at his behest, he forced me to. I never asked for the windows to be replaced. He insisted upon they be replaced. And that was part of the conditions under the original listed and planning permission. I was going to do it as they were. So anything illegal has been forced upon by this council, not by me. When they went to judicial review, the only conclusion that the judge found was that this council did not advertise the conditions on the lamppost, so therefore it was quashed because of a maladministration with legal. Nothing else was considered by the judge at that time. So other than that, and also the extension windows, I believe you're considering the frosting of the extension windows in this application. Under listed building applications, there is no facility for amenity or overlooking. It just doesn't exist in a listed application. So to enforce that goes against your actual conditions of listed building. Your conservation officer will confirm that there is no overlooking or amenity within the listed building applications. Other than that, I'll reiterate what I've said before, that all works on repair and restoration of the building have been carried out and completed in accordance with the guidance, direction and insistence of the conservation officer, of the council's former conservation officer. They were completed and ready for occupation some 2 years ago. Only the fault of the court found that the judicial review that the council made, they failed to advertise. Nothing else was considered in that, at that point.
Thank you.
An enforcement investigation found no breach of planning permission whatsoever. So I have done nothing wrong to say that I have done illegal things. I find distressing when I've done a wonderful job of that building and followed it to the letter. My position is what this council's maladministrated, not what I've done. I've done nothing wrong. As far as the windows being frosted, etc., we've gone through that in the previous application, so I imagine they would be the same. In terms of residential amenity, there isn't any facility within the listed building application for that, so it must be dismissed. Further, obviously, we have committed to ensuring that the openings open no further than the thickness of the walls are like this, so therefore the opening doesn't go any further than the extent of the brickwork, not the actual buttresses, like was stated before. It's the actual thickness of the brick, the stone thickness of the wall. So,
okay, thank you.
I'll leave it at that. We've covered everything, I think. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Sorry, Councillor Jones, you wanted to speak?
No, I was just ranting in my same thing. I hate it when people change conditions and they get an application passed on a condition or something, or that they're going to do something, and then within weeks, months, whatever, you find they're doing something entirely different in certain areas. And it just annoys me. Especially,
we followed it to the rule, to the letter. I have not changed anything.
Sir, I'm not allowed to talk to you, but what I was going to say was, have we got notes from the original conservation officer? This has been relied on. We've been told that the conservation officer did this, and this.
We do have.
He did. Emails. Well, he wants shooting then, obviously. But, you know, it's just annoying that you look at. I mean, there's words in here. I give up. I don't like it. I'm unhappy. So just.
Okay,
it doesn't help matters, Mr. Chairman.
Councillor Trowbridge?
Yeah, I'm trying to make head or tail because we're at opposite ends here. And on page 47, it says. Planning permission for listed building consent was granted on appeal. So we obviously turned it down first, and then they went to appeal and got it.
I believe it was not determined. I don't believe there was a decision made by the council, John.
What's that mean, not determined?
Yeah. There was no decision made within a period of time, so the applicant appealed non-determination.
Oh, okay, I've never heard of that before. Now I'm even more confused. Conservation officer was still happy and things were followed to what the conservation officer wanted.
Yeah. Could you allow the officer to expand on that?
Obviously where the previous conservation officer got involved was in dealing with the conditions that were imposed by the inspector.
Now I get it.
The inspector determined and allowed planning permission and listed building consent subject to conditions. Condition 3 of the listed building consent requires an awful lot of additional detail. In submission of an application to discharge that condition, the detail was submitted to the council, and that is where I understand the conversation between the conservation officer and the applicant were had and came to the design that's on the screen now.
I'm more than happy now, thank you. It's not something I've come across before, so excuse my ignorance now. And I will happily send this through exactly the same as I did with the last, as officer's recommendation. As I think we've talked about the windows so much already, and this is all about basically the windows.
If I can clarify on the condition, the additional condition that I read out, the reason for that condition is that the details of the window accord between the planning permission and the listed building consent. The point is taken that we can't consider amenity here, it's the listed building. However, if we have one condition that refers to clear glass in one window, but on the other element it's obscure glaze, we have a conflict between the conditions. That's the reason for that.
And they're clarifying that, so there's no conflict.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay.
Are you happy with that, Councillor? In your
yes.
proposal?
Yes, I am.
Are we a seconder for this? Councillor Hood? Anybody else wish to speak? Those in favour of the proposal that we were relative to the retention, those indicate they are, please.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6.
And those against?
None against.
That motion is carried. Now we come on to the third one, 21/35171. We don't have an objector, but we do have a supporter to this one. Would you like to come to the table, Mr. Howell? Is that
Joe? Is that Joe? Is that the, yes.
Yeah, please.
Thank you. So the third application, again, is a retrospective application for listed building consent for the retention of unauthorised works. The unauthorised works comprise those set out on page 64 of the officer's report. And the installation of roof lights in amended positions. The maximum change here being 21 centimetres vertically and 18 centimetres horizontally. These works rely upon listed building consent for the conversion of the building, and the recommendation made to committee would have been reliant upon the granting of listed building consent under the second application. The plan and aerial view again show the location of St John's Church. The photograph plan shows one external and one internal photograph. The external, again, being the southeast elevation of the church, and photograph 2 being the roof lights in situ. The first plan is the site plan, as you've seen before. Is the elevations. The red outlines on the roof lights show the revised position. Beyond what was previously approved. Plan 3, as you've seen before, the ground floor layout, and plan 4 is the first floor layout. The red boxes on those ground door bands detail the unauthorised work. So, thank you. Sorry. The recommendation, as I said, was dependent on the decision being made on the second application. So the recommendation is that listed building consent is approved.
Now we've approved the second application.
Yes.
Okay. Please, if Mr. Howell, you wish to speak to this.
With regard to these alterations, they were they only came about subject to sign off of conditions with the conservation officer, because he had put certain conditions on, like we can't have gas boilers, we have to have electric boilers, which are now the size of a fridge freezer. Where do you house them? So little cupboards were made this big just to hide it. And also the fire officer stated that because the internal walls have come out, we need some sort of fire prevention. And the conservation officer wanted a more open appearance, as the church was open before, rather than lots of little rooms. So therefore we agreed to put in a sprinkler system, which then caused problems in so much I've got to facilitate that with a massive tank. That's got to go somewhere. That went into the bottom of the stairwell, which obviously facilitated the stairs coming out. So in doing the conditions and what I was forced to agree to changes on the behest of the conservation officer, I had to change other things. We did put an application forward, which is to his suggestion. It was turned down because listed building had technically run out, because the windows were a precondition, even though they were done at a precondition, fitted legally under that condition, and only quashed it at judicial review. So they were legal, then they weren't legal. All out of my control. But anyway, that facilitated all these different changes, minor changes within this application, and we were legalising that and regularising that under the normal process of how you would do it. But it couldn't be done because of the judicial review, and they had nothing to tag it onto, which is your point earlier, that last application is now we can tag it onto.
Yeah.
So this is not me running riot and ripping things out and doing what I want. I fancy this or I fancy that. It has nothing whatsoever to do with that. It has practical implications as to what the conservation officer wanted me to do.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah. Councillor Trowbridge?
Yeah, I need more clarity on that. So what we're saying here is that you didn't just rip the staircase out and change the windows. He was told to by our conservation officer, but he couldn't put in planning until the listed building consent was accepted.
My understanding of this, and this isn't like the discharge conditions where there is an obvious trail, is that there were some conversations regarding some of the works, I don't know which, and the advice I'm led to believe was that listed building consent will be required for these works.
So I disagree with the gentleman there then. He should have waited, in my view, but as it's all been done and we've already approved all the rest, I think there's nothing else to do here but approve this one too. And yes, I'll...
Is that your proposal?
I will propose that
again. Seconder for that?
The conditions.
I'll second it. I'd just like to say, if I may, Mr. Chairman, that I know there's been to's and fro's on this one between conservation officers changing, etc. But what Councillor Hood said, that to have a building like that that was deteriorating and to give it a new life is the best outcome.
Yeah. Thank you.
Can I support what Councillor McKeown said? I'm a Christian, and I think any church that gets saved, and in a nice central place, as the gentleman has done, it's unfortunate that other things have happened along the way. So,
Councillor Hood?
I'd also like to echo that there seems to have been a huge letdown on our part with the conservation officer advice, and I can only hope that we're forgiven and that not too much is made of this, but for goodness sake, how much has it cost this guy? How many years has it been going on for? You know, absolutely unforgivable. And I'm glad that we're here tonight and now we've reached a position in which we're in agreement that we vote this through. Thank you, Chairman.
We're close to that anyway. We haven't done it yet. Okay, we have a proposal that this application is approved. Those in favour?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
So that is approved. Thank you very much. Not easy to follow, but we've achieved that anyway. Thank you very much. So that brings the applications to a close. We've now got an enforcement issue to consider. Yeah, can we go on to page 73 then, please? Which there is an appeal tonight in relation to Black Lake Farm, Hilderson Road, Mearheath. Do you want to talk to this, please, John? No, just note it.
It's just. A notified appeal.
Okay, so then we go on to the page 75. Park House, Park Lane, Brockton.
Sorry, I'm listening to their conversation.
Thank you, Chairman. Very briefly, this is a report in relation to a carport to the front elevation of the property. The property you can see on the screen is Park House, and the blue is approximately where the carport is. The building referred to as Grade 2 listed building is the cottage, which is the building immediately below this. You see from the report that we had a report of an unauthorised carport. The owner was invited to submit a planning application, which they did. That was refused on 17th of August this year for the reason quoted on page 75. The situation is that the carport remains, well, at the beginning of the month, the carport was remaining in situ. So, given that it doesn't have planning permission, it is potentially affects the setting of a Grade 2 listed building. The recommendation is that it is appropriate to take expedient to take enforcement action to require removal of the carport. So just before you take a view on that, that's a picture of the carport.
Is that solar panels?
Don't think so. I think it's like a
space. Is it a heliport or a carport? Because how do they get to it?
Rather large.
Worse than that, I can't see that it does anything. It's not, you know,
It is interesting.
Yeah. Modern art.
It would stop leaf litter dropping on the car. Which I can imagine, I'm judging by the state of it. Sorry.
Except the car isn't underneath.
It's the solar panel.
Yes, it could have used the solar panels.
Charge at the car while you're at it.
But if it was solar panels,
does anybody want to make any comments apart from those that you're making?
Well, no, really, if it was solar panels, I would be against us telling them to take it.
But it's not.
It's not. We know it's not. Okay.
And it's a relative to a refused planning application.
I move. That
so we're talking about it shouldn't be there.
If I move that we go for an enforcement action.
That it is expedient to go for removal. Is that seconded?
I'll second.
Thank you, Councillor Nixon. Anybody else want to speak? Councillor Cooper?
Whether it's relevant or not, I don't know, but there's a sense of irony that we're looking at taking this away because of the impact on conservation. After the last session, the last applications. just a thought.
Two wrongs don't make
okay,
a
we have got. We
yes.
have got.
Oh, no, no, I'm voting. Sorry.
Oh. those in favour of taking expedient action. That is unanimous. Thank you very much. It is likely that there will be one more planning committee meeting this month. Very quite close to Christmas, 21st of December.
Mr. Chairman, it's the 30th of November today, so I don't think we can get it
next month,
Mr. Chairman, this month.
No, this year.
Oh, sorry, this year.
Yeah, he said. And will we be having mince pies as well?
Yes.